It's Tuesday, the day we read from your emails. It's college application season again, and Ask Amy's Amy Dickinson gave us some advice last week on how to help kids cope with the rejection letter, that dreaded thin envelope. Susan Varn, a listener in New Hampshire, emailed to tell us that sometimes disappointment can have a happy ending. 4 years ago, she wrote, we agonized with our daughter as her college acceptance dreams didn't turn out as she'd hoped, and she was tossed into the purgatory of waitlists. Instead, she decided to attend our state university in New Hampshire. When she graduates in May, she will have highest honors in a double major, received an excellent education at a fraction of the private cost, and she learned Monday she's received a Fulbright for next year. We now look at that disappointment as having opened the door to huge opportunity, with money left over for grad school. A week ago, we talked with another parent on a very different topic, the difficult job of seeing a child off to war. It's something listener Bev Sutton has firsthand experience with, and she took issue with a comment from one of our callers. I'm the mother of an active-duty soldier currently deployed in Iraq, she wrote. The comment, they volunteered, they knew what they were getting into, incenses me more than I can say. No one knows what war is like until they have experienced it. To claim that 17-year-olds knew what they were getting into is disingenuous at best, a self-serving lie at worst. Our conversation on depression also brought quite a few responses from listeners. New research shows doctors may sometimes be too quick to diagnose clinical depression when the problem may be normal sadness after the death of a loved one or a divorce or similarly stressful circumstances. A listener named Back O disagreed. I was diagnosed with clinical depression. At least for me, it was difficult to understand mental illness until I had it. It is not sadness or transient depression, but it is really deep and dark. You have no control over it. I do not think that mental illness is overdiagnosed. In fact, the case is just the opposite. Most people will not seek help for a mental problem because of the stigma of being mentally ill, but it is very treatable, and mentally ill people can lead happy and successful lives. And we ended last week with a look at the popularity of professional wrestling. They don't call it a sport, but for many fans, it's definitely big entertainment and big business. A listener named Adam emailed from Rochester, New York, to tell us, I'm a theater professor who studies Shakespeare avidly. There's definitely a similarity between pro wrestling and Shakespeare. People often forget that Shakespeare at his time was more like a sitcom writer who happened to be a genius, rather than what we think of now as a serious literary author. Although, as most of the characters are intentionally ignoble, pro wrestling is more in the vein of classical notions of comedy rather than tragedy. Violence can be funny, too. Another listener, Jim Green in Tallahassee, gave the topic itself a body slam. Wrestling, he fumed? Good grief. As always, if you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. Our address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name.